This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Mere Sports Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3 o'clock on a snowy MLK day here in East Tennessee. We welcome you 3 hours of quality sports-related entertainment headed your way right here on Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, Russ.
You sound fantastic. Jake Miller, how are you, man?
Living the dream.
Very good. Very good.
Always right with the world.
Oh. Bear's in a chipper mood today. This should be good.
Yeah.
Everybody have
Cowboys a, lost.
That warms your cold, dark heart.
Oh, God. Yeah. In the way they lost.
Oh, my goodness.
Hashtag pray for Draven.
What about what are they thinking, man? Like, I don't know. We're going to have Jordan Dejani on here in a little bit from CBS Sports.
And, well, they weren't.
Do what?
They weren't thinking. Everybody that's played organized football knows that rule.
It's so strange, man, because right before they snapped, where was the – were they on the – 40 or was it midfield?
I think they were on the 38, maybe.
Yeah, I thought they got it right around the 40. And I remember
they had 14
thinking,
seconds they could have taken.
Yeah, like as they're snapping the ball, I found myself thinking, like, now they could go over the middle of the field here and like get it inside the 20 if they are on it, like and they run up there and spike it. They have a chance. Never in my wildest dreams did I think they would actually run it, whether it's with the quarterback or the running back or whatever. Like, it just takes too long. It's not worth it.
It's one thing you can't do.
And it's not like the play broke down and he had to scramble. Like, that was a called play.
Oh, that was a designed run.
Yeah.
I mean, just
– Dallas Cowboys, a gift that keeps on giving the whole year round.
I kind of thought – once they hit that play where Dak rolled out and found the guy and they got up near midfield, I was like, damn, they're going to pull this off. Like, they're going to win this game, man. I felt it.
I know. My stomach was hurting.
And then it's like, what are you guys doing? Have you ever seen a more boneheaded, like, play call in that situation?
I've seen a bigger one than that.
What?
The Seahawks had it at the 1-inch line with one of the top five power running backs in the history of football.
Yeah.
And they threw it into the teeth of, you know, one of the best secondaries that's ever played.
Yeah. I did think about that one too.
You got the goat play from Tennessee against Florida.
The goat play.
Yeah. You didn't watch the game back in 2015 down there. Where they rolled Dobbs out on some kind of bootleg in our offensive line. They never moved.
What?
At the end of the game, if you'd watched the game, you'd Okay. You know, you've never watched the game, so you don't know what we're talking about.
The goat play. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one. Yeah, that was a special moment from the Cowboys. Remember, Davey told us on our post-game show Saturday that Jerry Jones is all worried about Kellen Moore leaving?
Oh, he's an idiot.
You think they just go ahead and use that as an excuse to fire Mike McCarthy?
I don't know. Maybe.
Was Kellen that his Moore, call? Does he call
like
the
you're
plays?
Making a big upgrade. He called the damn – he's the one who called the damn play.
Who?
Kellen Moore. He's the offensive – he's a play caller.
Mike McCarthy doesn't call his own plays?
No, Kellen Moore does.
He called a quarterback draw with 14 seconds to go and no timeouts of playoff game.
What an idiot.
Boise State's finest.
Go ahead and let that guy go, man. Worried about him leaving for what? Giants going to hire him? I mean, like, where's
Giants,
he going to go?
The Jags, the Texans, let him go.
Jags aren't going to hire him. It sounds like the Texans have zeroed in on Mayo, hadn't they? That's the last I'd heard.
You know, or Flores. You know, I was talking about this with somebody DMing back and forth over the weekend, and it just seems like the NFL, this trend that they've got of just hiring really young guys, whether it's the guy in Philly, Sirianni, or the guy in Cincinnati, Zach Taylor, the guy in Cleveland, Brandon Staley with the Chargers, Cliff Kingsbury with the Cardinals, all these really young coaches, no head coaching experience, and they're just plucking them in, and these guys are all, you know, they fit the suit, they're good looking, they're smart, they know the analytics and all that stuff. And like I'm all for new blood, and I don't like seeing retread hires. You know, these guys that have had a billion jobs.
Yeah,
it's like,
Mike McCarthy.
Even I mean he's a little bit younger, I guess, but like some of these guys, we're moving guys around, you know. And but to me, shouldn't there be a happy medium? Like, to me, the perfect guy is you want to hire a head coach who has been a longtime coordinator. He's been really successful as a coordinator, preferably at different stops. He's learned a couple of things along the way. Guys in his mid-40s, early 50s, something like that. Maybe he's had one head coaching job before and had
narrowing it down.
Well, I'm not. There are a lot of guys out there. I mean, that's your prime. Like, you're in your 40s or your 50s. You've seen some stuff. And it's like, you know, that's the happy medium. That's what I'm looking for. You know, unless he's just a can't-miss wonder kid, or it's like a Parcells type, you know, that has been really successful and for some reason he's available. Like, I want to hire a guy in his prime. Like, I think the Bears should hire that Doug Peterson guy, right? Like, he's had one head coaching job. He won a Super Bowl. Like, but that guy still has some miles in the engine, you know?
Well, I mean, they're just certain spots would make more sense. Like, if I'm the Jaguars, I'm getting Leftwich from Tampa Bay. Leftwich would scare the hell out of me at Dallas. A hell of a lot more than Kellen Moore would. I don't know.
Leftwich, as a Titan fan, Leftwich scares me none, like zero, not even a little bit. I hope they hire him too. That sounds like a failure written all over it. You're hiring a name. If he hadn't played there, would you be hiring Byron Leftwich? Well, because he stood next to Bruce Arians for a couple of years and called plays for Tom Brady. Go ahead. Yeah, please hire Byron Leftwich. Please.
Okay.
Like Peterson or even Flores would scare me a lot more as a Titans fan down there.
Well, the thing with Flores, you look at what he did the last 8-9 weeks in Miami. They only lost one game.
That was a lot of – if you really dig deep into who – take a look at who they played. And I read a really good article about that. before they played the Titans. When the Titans busted their bubble. And really on their winning streak, they didn't really beat anybody good. It's just like the Cowboys. They were smoke and mirrors. They won the garbage NFC East. They were 6-0 against the other three teams in the East, and they were 6-6 against the rest of the NFL.
I think the Cowboys – I don't think the Cowboys are a Super Bowl team. I think they should have won that game yesterday. I think they absolutely gagged. That was a gag fest, man. I've never seen a quarterback look more scared than Jimmy Garoppolo after that interception. When he went back out there and they're just trying to run clock, and the Cowboys are just giving it to him, man. It's dumb penalties to extend a drive. How do you get a holding penalty on one of your defensive linemen? A defensive lineman holding
penalty? Sir smokes a lot. Randy Gregory.
What are they doing?
He tackled the guy.
Why? That's just
because he's an idiot.
You had a hands to the face penalty. I mean, just all kinds of dumb stuff. All kinds of dumb stuff, man.
And what about our
and the 49ers are, I mean, Garoppolo had deer in the headlights. Look, man, I mean, he is just trying. They're scared to throw it with him. He's scared. They're begging the Cowboys to take that game, holding the door open for him, and they wouldn't walk through it.
I'll tell you who wasn't scared. The dog himself. Do you see that hit he laid on Diggs?
Dog is the dog, man.
Juwan. Head on a swivel.
Juwan gonna Juwan.
That's how
he's that's one how, of those guys.
That's how Vols treat Alabama players.
Bama turds.
It's what they got now, coming to them, man. We need.
I mean, he's like Hines Ward. There's guys like that in football. The second you forget that they're on the field is right before they put you in a, you know, almost a coma.
I think my favorite Hines Ward moment is when he just absolutely flat backed. I forgot who it was, but as soon as he laid the wood, dude hadn't even hit the ground yet, and he's already calling for medical help for the guy before he even hits the ground.
You got to flip your switches, baby. Yeah, I mean, it's just brutal. That goes back to one of the best questions Davey Hudson ever posed. Who is your favorite player that played for the team you hate the most? That's Hines Ward for me.
Yeah, King Henry. Don't have to wait too long to think about that one for me.
But, I mean, I didn't really hate Henry when he was at Alabama. He's just a freak, dude.
Well, we'll see what he's got this weekend. Titans, Bengals, Saturday afternoon in Nashville. I hate that I'm going to be missing the LSU game Saturday night, but it's a playoff game, man. It's a bucket list item. So,
what time's kickoff?
4:30.
Hey, you don't miss that. You go.
No. Yeah, I'll be hopefully enjoying it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess in a weird way, I want to win. I don't know, man. I want to see both teams.
What do you mean you don't know?
What? I'm trying to decide, like, which game I want to win more, the basketball game or the playoff game. I mean, I like Tennessee basketball more than I like the Titans, but it is a playoff game. But I just want to be there, man. It's like I said, a bucket list item. And we'll see, man. Bengals scare me. They do. This maligned Titans defense is going to have to figure out a way to cover Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins.
I think the biggest thing is probably going to be a pass rush, man. Got to get after Burrow. Got to hit him. Put him on the ground.
Hell, the Bengals are going to be missing, looks like, three of their four defensive linemen?
I didn't know it was that many. I know they had another starter that's been ruled out already.
Yeah.
Be interested to see how they use Henry this week. Big game for Tennessee. This is a big week for Tennessee basketball, man. It feels like this is a defining week, you know? Like, this is a could go either. There were some really interesting comments from Rick Barnes after what happened Saturday in Lexington. And I'll be interested to see what he does. Like, is he just paying this lip service? You know, he said that the two interesting things were Huntley Hatfield, everything he said about him, he said he is going to play more going forward. He said he earned the minutes on Saturday, and he said that they have to change the vibe on the team somehow, some way, and that that's on him. So is that just lip service? Is that just Barnes being emotional after the game? Is he really going to shake things up and make Huntley Hatfield a focal point tomorrow night against Vanderbilt in Nashville? Or is he just – is it an emotional thing and he's going to settle down and we're just going to stick with our guys and keep moving forward and handling Huntley Hatfield with kid gloves? I think he's going to shake it up, Bear. I think we're going to see Huntley Hatfield unleashed tomorrow. I think they're going to let him play through some mistakes and just kind of see where the chips fall on that one. And I went
back and watched the Kentucky game.
And what do you mean you went back and watched it?
I rewatched it.
Why? You rewatched it?
Yeah, because I was looking for certain things. There's no reason not to start Huntley Hatfield place of Fulkerson tomorrow. Fulkerson he's not right now.
I think Bear's turned into one of those analytics guys.
Nah, I mean, it's just the eye in the sky doesn't lie. I mean, Fulkerson's not Fulkerson right now.
I mean, what about Camwell? We ain't get anything out of him either. The lack of consistency is just maddening with this team, man. And
that's been the book on Camwell, whatever.
Remember Fulmer? Fulmer used to always, whenever things were going bad for Fulmer, he would always tell the story about the boy trying to, you know, there's a leak in the dam or the dike or whatever, and he put finger in and then another leak would spring and put, you know, that whole thing, that analogy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what Barnes is kind of looking at right now. It's like, okay, Fulke takes this game off, but Chandler plays well. And then the next game, well, Chandler takes the game off and we have a good Fulke game. Okay, the next game, Triple J disappear. Like, somebody's always disappearing on this team. And if we could just get some consistency, man, if we could just get everybody, all five starters scoring a dozen points or so. Nobody, again, we've said it a billion times, this team doesn't necessarily need a quote-unquote go-to guy, doesn't need a superstar. But they just need everybody to play well.
I mean, that's what Kentucky did to us on Saturday.
Exactly.
Everybody just played well. And we held Tshiebwe in check as much as anybody did or has done so far this year. But Triple J played better.
This feels like a defining week for this team. A loss tomorrow would be disastrous. Don't even want to contemplate it. I don't think they're going to lose tomorrow. I think they're going to take care of business. And then I hope the fans stick with this team this week, man, because this is a big one. And if they do go out there, take care of business tomorrow, a huge opportunity, I think. Saturday night, it should be a great crowd. I hope that the crowd comes through. And it's, you know, a game Tennessee needs to win, quite frankly, to turn this season around. I've already kind of put winning the SEC regular season title out of my mind. I just don't see that happening at this point. But it's about reaching this team's potential, picking up some big wins along the way, and getting as good a seed as possible for the NCAA tournament and hoping that we peak at the right time. Because I don't think anybody believes that Tennessee has peaked yet. There's some serious potential on this team. We'll talk about it some more coming up here in just a bit, but this is an absolutely critical week for Rick Barnes and the Basketball Vols. All right, stay with us. The Drive continues coming up. Your Rocky Top Report with Bo Kregner, the Kregner Group. We will have the latest on Tennessee transfer portal recruiting coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Well, football information, Isaiah Nayor visited, and from all accounts, I talked to some people who were over there this weekend, Bear, and Tennessee feels pretty good that they have weathered the storm with Ole Miss for Isaiah Nayor.
Hurricane Lane.
Yep. This kid is up to number 3 in the Athletics' top 25 available transfer portal players behind Caleb Thompson and Dart, the quarterback from USC.
Yeah.
So, got to sign it. Got to get him here, man. I think the plan is, unless somebody comes in last minute, tries to drop a bag or something, that he will be here next weekend to start going to classes and start working out with the Vols. Huge pickup for Tennessee. Another huge pickup on the administrational side of it, Billy High is coming back to Knoxville.
Saw that.
He has been at North Carolina the past couple of years. He's a CAK grad, grew up here in Knoxville, family ties. His brother Charlie was a record-setting quarterback for CAK back in the day. He has been the general manager with Mack Brown's staff at North Carolina for a while and will have a similar role here in Knoxville, and is going to be instrumental in just recruiting efforts and managing the transfer portal and stuff like that. So we talked about this with Trey on Friday, Bear. You hear about Napier and all these guys. Oh, we're going to, you know, reinvest in the staff and our army of analysts and all that stuff. It's good to see Tennessee doing the same thing.
Yeah. Certainly is.
I mean, that's where the arms race is moving right now. So hopefully he can help keep that thing rolling over there.
Hopefully this will help with the NIL.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big component of it as well. I mean, I don't, you know, he can't technically. University cannot arrange that stuff, but I guess it can't hurt.
Now, did you happen to see, I know you follow that message board account on Twitter. You know, Arkansas has had a lot of success so far in the portal.
Well, they got one of those linebackers from Alabama committed there.
Yeah.
This weekend.
There was a young woman who apparently came out over the weekend and said that she'd been helping Arkansas recruit.
Okay.
Did you come across that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently with, allegedly with favors of you know, like having sex with players.
Mm. She's helping them recruit, huh?
Sounds like it.
Could you imagine that conversation that Sam Pittman had? Now listen here. I need you. Go give that boy whatever he wants.
Take one for the team. Hey, man. I guess all's fair in love and recruiting.
Yeah.
I guess so.
It wouldn't be the first time it's happened. Definitely not in this league.
Basketball news. It's Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow. The Vols clinging to its top 25 ranking. That's another thing. It's like we talked about on Saturday after the Kentucky game. Tennessee, I think we all thought was going to be bounced from the polls, and they're not. They're still number 24. I think you have to win both times this week to stay in it. I don't think you can, you know, even losing to LSU, I think that might be it for Tennessee in their top 25 ranking. So, but it's cool that we're still in it, but I think that is a very, very tenuous hold right now for the Volunteers. That is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. 2022 is off to a tremendous start in the East Tennessee real estate market. Folks are still cashing in big time on their homes. There has never been a better time to sell your home in East Tennessee than right now. How long are these incredible market conditions going to last? I don't know. Nobody knows. It's anybody's guess. But what we do know is this. If you are thinking, even considering, even wondering if you might maybe sort of ought to consider selling your home this year, you need to call Bo Kregner ASAP. Tell him I sent you. He's going to take great care of you. He's going to explain it to you, everything that you need to do to get your home ready for market. And the best part is that free consultation. Yeah, it's free. It doesn't cost a dime. Give him a call. Tell him I sent you. 865-742-1035. 742-1035. He's online at boknowshouses.com. And get the ball rolling. Even if you're not going to list your home in the next month or so, it's a process, right? You got to make sure you got some curb appeal. Maybe you got to put some new siding up. Maybe you got to do a new roof. Whatever it is you got to do, you don't have to do much these days, but you do want to make sure that you're getting top dollar for your home because, again, just incredible market conditions right now. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group will help you see real estate the right way. All right. Open up the phones here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200 if you want to jump in this afternoon. It is a 9 p.m. tip tomorrow in Music City.
Oof.
Yeah.
Going to be a late night.
Yep. Tom Hart, Dane Bradshaw will have the call. And Vanderbilt still not allowing any students in the game. This is just, it's a game you have to win if you're Tennessee, man. There's just, this would be a disaster loss. Have not won on the road yet.
Hey, you can't lose to Jerry Krackhouse.
Really? That feels like a bit much.
What?
Krackhouse? Really? That's what we're going with?
Sure, why not? He's the head coach of Kandy.
Damn, dude.
It's Krackhouse, Friar Tuck. Who else have they had?
That's like the only two coaches they've had the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Jan Van Bredekoff.
Van Bredekoff. The clown that guy was. Yeah, we cannot lose these chumps tomorrow.
Eddie Fogler. Back in the
Fogler.
Day.
Yeah. You're going way back now.
Man, Eddie Fogler and Will Perdue. So, no active Vol has ever lost a game in Memorial Gym. Tennessee has won 10 of the last 11 meetings in this series, including each of the last 8 and 5 straight in Memorial Gym. How about that, Bear? That's pretty impressive.
That's not an easy place to win.
No, it's not. I know Vandy's been down. I mean, that contributes to it somewhat,
it's a
but
goofy ass gym of theirs.
It's not a shooter's gym, that's for sure.
I wouldn't tell that to Grant Williams. He didn't have a problem. But it's just weird. Pearl hates it.
John Tweet says Kevin Stallings looked like Bill from King of the Hill.
He did, didn't he?
You like that, Jake? That's your favorite show. Nobody likes a show the way Jake Miller likes King of the Hill.
This is true.
I don't know. Kress is right there with him.
What, as a King of the Hill fan?
Oh, yeah, huge.
Do you think you're a bigger King of the Hill fan than Houston Kress, Jake?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He does look just like Bill. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Give me a little taste of Bill. Was it Daughtrieve?
Dotrieve.
Dotrieve. Give me a little Bill, Jake.
Yes, Hank. I was married to a woman once. And then Lenore left. Lenore!
I don't know what he's talking about, but it's funny. It amuses me. I'm sorry. I know what I like. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200 if you want to jump in. Tennessee Vandy tomorrow in Rick Barnes' first season as the head coach at Clemson in 1994-1995 as Tigers faced North Carolina, led by first-team All-American Jerry Stackhouse three times, and the Tar Heels won all three meetings on the way to a Final Four appearance. I believe they lost to UCLA that year. It was the Ed O'Bannon year, 95. Jim Herrick back in the day. Jake wasn't even born, probably.
I was born.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's a guy that's cost us NCAA football.
I've still got NCAA 14. Played it yesterday, as a matter of fact.
How about this nug from UT Sports Information? Three of the last five times the Vols have traveled to Nashville, they returned home without playing.
Huh?
Memphis.
Okay.
SEC tournament.
SEC tournament.
What was the third one?
Did we get a game postponed against Vanderbilt? No.
I don't know what the third one.
Did we go there last year and the game was canceled or something at Memorial?
Did we get
maybe?
I feel like we played there.
A part of me remembers that, but a part of me doesn't. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
No, either you remember it or you don't.
I have a lot of stuff going through my head, man.
No, I don't know what you mean, Jake.
I'm trying to remember if we did or we didn't.
I'm sure an alert listener will clue us in there. Three of the last five times the Vols traveled to Nashville, they returned home without playing. That's interesting. 865-546-8200. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come right back with your phone calls. See if we can figure out what the story was on that mysterious third game. Stay tuned. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. So, being told that last year's game at Vanderbilt was canceled. It might have been postponed. It was rescheduled, right? We went out there and it was rescheduled.
That's what I'm thinking of.
We did play there, and I'm reading the last meeting. Tennessee won 70-58 at Memorial Gym in February. Bailey and Springer went for 20. Pons had a double-double, and Tennessee beat Vanderbilt in there. But, I think they did travel over there and have the game canceled. So three out of five times they've gone there and only to return not having played. Bizarre.
Jeez.
Absolutely bizarre. All right, let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Phil is up first today on the Drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Well, sorry, W.
Philly.
How you, Bob Bronton? Jake Snake done.
Man, just trying to stay warm, you know?
I know. It's chilly out there. It's a bone chilling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's that kind of just cuts you to the bone. Cold out there right now in East Tennessee.
Yeah. Are y'all ready to admit that Tennessee recruiting inside is no good?
It hasn't produced great results here lately. That's for sure.
Yeah, it sure hasn't. And they struck out on every target this last signing period. So, they're going after so many players, but they don't have any scholarships available. I don't understand their recruiting, do you?
Well, guys are going to leave. I mean, you're going to have defections, I would imagine, this day and age.
Hopefully there will be.
So I think that you're going to have to go and use the portal. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, look at what Kentucky's done. They've flipped their recruiting script. It used to just be all one and done, and they beat us with a bunch of transfers on Saturday in Ty Washington. So I think that, we talk about Josh Heupel hiring Charlie High and trying to shore up their transfer portal game. Rick Barnes has got to look long and hard at that too, because there's a couple of guys, Toshibwe is one of them that had some interest in Tennessee, and Tennessee will say they didn't have a scholarship or whatever, but they've got to make sure that they're playing that game right, because I think that's the new game in college basketball recruiting.
Well, the game was they had Kentucky had a scholarship available during the year last year, and they brought him in January last year. And Tennessee, they fill him up, and they don't leave any. I don't know why they don't leave one open in case you have a great transfer.
Well, they did the year before, and they got Vescovi in the middle of the year. But you're right, they didn't have one last year. They don't have one this year, and I would probably take a long, hard look at that. You don't if you have a bunch of spots open. You have a couple of guys transfer out, and you can bring in a guy or two. You better make sure they can play. You don't want to take a guy. Oh, this guy's sat at prep school, but we really think he could develop into something nice.
You don't want a project, though.
I don't think so. You've got enough.
You want someone established? Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
Yeah, we've got enough. We've had enough projects, especially these ones that the like Comlon, Euros.
Well, anymore, I mean. Anybody who doesn't come in and can't play right away is a project in major college basketball. I mean, that used to be a word that we just used to describe big men that can't play. And you put them on your roster and you hope that in 3 or 4 years you get something out of them. Nowadays, a project, like, I look at all these guys. I mean, Tomba's a project. Adu's a project. Meshack's a project. Dabunje, like, all these guys.
Basically, this entire signing class, except for Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah, it's too many, man. You need guys who can play, and that's what the portal gives you now.
Well, Hatfield should have stayed in high school, and so should Tomba. Yeah. That's the bottom line. And it doesn't make no sense to reclassify players and they sit on the bench. It's just all these other schools that they're going in and they're playing immediately. And that's how you start to affect your recruiting when you do stuff like that. And it's already affecting our recruiting on top of the NIL stuff on top of that, too.
Man, I'd like to see the NCAA do something with that for football and basketball, all sports. It's just like, man, you need 4 years of high school, no matter where you're at. And I don't care how old you are or whatever, but this reclassification stuff is just – I don't think it's good for sports.
I don't think
it's good for the individuals.
Well, we had two do it this past year, didn't we? We had Tomba and –
Ziegler.
Yeah.
Ziegler.
No, Ziegler graduated high school.
That's three.
Yeah, you're right, Phil. That's three.
And none of them are ready.
Ziegler didn't reclassify, guys.
Yes, he
did.
Yeah,
he did.
Bear's right. We need to go ahead and say it's time to play Hatfield and just live with it. Because you got to get ready for next year regardless. And Fulkerson is spent. I'd play Fulkerson if he can play. If not, just leave him sit on the bench. I mean, what we saw Saturday was atrocious. And I felt bad for him. Shouldn't have been put in that situation. It's what lazy recruiting does for you.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, he looked fine against South Carolina. And he had, what, 10 points, 5 rebounds, something like that in that game. If you can get that out of him every single night, you take it.
Yeah, but he hadn't done it in a long time, W. I mean, he gets about one out of 3 or 4 games he plays good now. That's what's – and our shooting is – I mean, they shot well against Kentucky, but Kentucky shot 70% from the field. I mean, there's no way you can beat anybody when they do that.
I mean, they had two players that scored over 20. I think Ty Washington had, what, 28?
Yeah, and like Rhett Barnes is acing a hole was beating Kentucky just like Fulmer's was beating Alabama. And once that's gone, you know what that means.
I know exactly where you're going with that.
Y'all have a good day.
Still 8-7 against Kentucky. They're good though, man. I mean, I give it Kentucky. They're playing really well. I mean, that's a team that could go all the way. I mean, they've got it. They've got it all. You know, multiple point guards, ball handlers, guys that can shoot it everywhere. A mountain man in the middle who just dominates the interior. That's a guy that put together a good roster. And you know, Calipari, say what you want about the guy, but he's always been ahead of the game, right? He's always been the guy that I'm going to be the one and done guy, and now he's become the transfer guy. And, like, that's it's worked out. Now. Yeah, no doubt. John Tweet is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Hello.
What's up?
King of the Hill is probably one of the greatest shows on television.
Oh, it's the greatest show on television.
It's not far behind Seinfeld. It's up there. Bill Dozier, it's great. But, yeah, that Kevin Stallings looks exactly like Bill Dozier. Didn't Bill Dozier have eligibility left or something like that in one of the shows?
Yeah.
They put him in and he was, like, banging his head or something. I can't remember the whole.
Yeah, he broke his spine again.
He broke his spine. The Bill Dozier.
I chipped my spine on that play.
I can't remember. Was he going to set the record or what was the story? I cannot remember the whole thing or how he had eligibility left or they put him in there.
So he had eligibility left because he left after his junior year of high school to go to the Army. So then he had one more year of high school eligibility left, so he went back and broke his spine.
You remember when they gave Hank Hill ass implants so he didn't have back? He had to wear special padding.
Remember when Cotton came up to him? Ah, God, Hank, you're wearing butt boobies.
Cotton was a great character, too. And then his neighbor, what was his neighbor's name? Con or whatever. God, him and then Bobby was the reincarnated Buddha. Oh, man, beautiful.
Bear, I guess we're just living in Jake and John Tweet's world right now. We're just along for the ride.
Yeah, it's great. You didn't watch that show?
I did. I did. But, I mean, you guys seem to be devotees.
I think the end of it was when Bobby became a meat expert. Wasn't he a meat expert or something? He like, won the meat, like, the marbling competition or something like that.
Expert?
I'm not a grass expert.
Oh.
Yeah, he knew his meat. Bobby knew his meat, and then, yeah, it was classic. That Kentucky game they shot 78% in the first half. To me, with that big guy inside, it was going to go two ways. You were either going to try to get cheap fouls on him, or you were going to, I don't know, play somebody more like Hatfield that could get out on the perimeter and bit, shoot and make him come out and try to guard and get him out of the middle, and they chose to try to get cheap fouls. They got one foul on him early. The second foul came. I don't think the second foul on him came into the second half, if I don't remember right.
They got the second foul on him late in the first half, but
was it really late? Yeah,
it was like a 2 or 3 minute mark. Yeah,
and they were throwing it into Kamwa against him. It wasn't even hard for him. He just stood there. Kamwa didn't do anything. You know what I mean? You can't bang with that guy. I mean, Folky's sure not going to do it. And you're not going to throw the ball to Uris down there because he can't catch. I don't know why you didn't play Hatfield earlier. At least maybe he's a bit more mobile there and might be able to, you know what I mean, do something with the guy. Or bring him out around the perimeter. I don't know. I losing to Kentucky at Kentucky doesn't, I don't know. Some people get all upset about it. It's kind of expected. You win there, it's a bonus. But I will say this. I felt like they had a much better chance of winning that game just because of that the styles and how they match up than they had beaten LSU at LSU. I'll tell you that. Will Wade gives them fits. I don't know why, but he does.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We had Justin Gainey on, I guess, last week, and he talked about how, you know, LSU just the way they play is a little bit different, the way they switch stuff. He got kind of inside baseball or inside basketball, as the case may be, on it. But I think they do things differently. I think Kentucky just kind of big boyed us. I mean, first of all, like they manhandled us in the paint, and then they hit everything. And
you looked up. They hit every floater in the lane, three pointers from the corner. I mean, it did whatever they wanted to do. They did, and then that. I was under the impression apparently that little point guard they have is a bad shooter, and we decided to get up on him and you know what I mean, let him go right by you. I don't get it. Doesn't really make sense. I mean, I don't know. And then they just looked. They didn't look good, buddy. I mean, let's just take it for what it is. And God, I hope we don't lose to Vanderbilt, but because if you lose to Vanderbilt, you're on a pretty bad stretch. If they go ahead and beat Vanderbilt, I'll just be like, hey, just bad game, let's go.
if you lose to Vanderbilt, I don't want to think about what the rest of the week is going to be like in terms of the Barnes Bashers circling. I mean, the torches will be lit. Pitchforks will be foisted in the air. Blood. People will want blood. People will want something. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
Has Jamie caught in yet? Has he caught in yet?
Oh, we talked to Jamie after the game on Twitter Spaces Saturday. He was gleeful. He's in his element right now.
I mean, just get to 500 in the league. That's it. I mean, maybe a few better than 500 in the league. I mean, LSU at home, that you need to get these next two. So that would put you 2-1. Phil was talking about it maybe last week, something about five games we have coming up and trying to come out of it as 3-2 and not 2-3. It's what? It was Kentucky, Vanderbilt, LSU. I would assume Georgia's one of them. Who else? Anybody scheduling for them? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, A&M, Florida. I mean, there's some winnable games. Vanderbilt twice, South Carolina A&M. Again.
I think Buzz, whatever he calls his name, Buzz Williams is a superior coach to Rick Barnes, at least in game. I think he'll pants him in game. The A&M's good this year.
They haven't played anybody, though, yet, man. I mean, they almost lost in the Conzone Saturday.
Russ, you want an interesting exercise. Rank the coaches in the SEC game day only and see where you have Rick.
Wow, yeah. I mean,
bottom third or top third? I would say he's bottom third.
Middle of the pack is what I would say. I don't know. But
that's interesting. I think if you go through him, he's in the bottom third. I'm talking just in-game adjustments, what he's going to do day of the game. He's got to be bottom third of the league.
I don't know, Rack man. I'd put it in there between five and nine, somewhere in there. Just, I mean, you're right. I think Buzz Williams can really coach. I think Will Wade and Nate Oates know what they're doing.
Musselman can coach, too.
Musselman's pretty – yep. I mean, I'll take Barnes over Conzo.
You take Barnes over Cal?
Jerry Stackhouse. I think Barnes and Cal are very similar. I think they are
culture
guys. And I don't want to say they roll the ball out there, but I just think they're old school, and I don't think they're going to innovate the way some of these younger guys are.
Interesting. That's an interesting exercise. Y'all be good, boys. See ya.
Thank you. Thank you, Tweet. Appreciate it. I mean, I would take Barnes over who's that guy they got down there at Georgia?
Tom Crean.
Take him over them. Conzo, Stackhouse. Take him
Frank
over
Martin.
Frank Martin. Yeah, probably.
I mean, they had that one Final Four, and they have not done.
I'll take him over little Mikey White in his size medium dress shirt and his clip-on tie and his Supercuts haircut. Know that for sure.
You downgrade him?
I mean, I think that I'd take him over Kermit.
About the same.
I would just put Barnes middle of the pack. I mean, he's a guy. He's a culture guy. I'm going to recruit good kids, coach them up hard. They're going to play hard, fundamentally sound. But, yeah, I mean, if you're in a tight game against a superior opponent and you want to draw something up on the fly, I mean, he's probably he's behind Pearl, Oates, Musselman, some of these other guys, for sure. There's no doubt about that. All right, stay with us. Zake's got the top four at four coming up next. Jordan DiGiani going to stop by and talk NFL playoffs with us as well. A lot to get to on this three-hour tour. Hour number two coming up.
The Drive.
Winning season return.